Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to a new episode of our radio show, Friends Forum. My name is John McCormick, and I am your host. Just as the talk show suggests, this is an informal forum for friends to come together and discuss topics and or share random thoughts. Although I will suggest topics at times, everyone is welcome to suggest a topic as well. Most topics are welcomed, but remember, we are on the air, so please keep that in mind. The show tonight will be in a few segments over the next 90 minutes. There will be fun commercials, great songs, and some surprises in addition to our discussion. I created this show so friends that may never get a chance to meet in person can at least talk to each other here. It's like the next best thing. We get to put a voice with a face. I just want to say how grateful I am for all my friends I have met online through Facebook and other social networking sites, and I want to thank each one of you for being a friend. Well, it's time to get this show going. What you have is two options. You can choose to listen to the show, or you can call in to join the live group discussion, which I would prefer that you could do, and that will be on the air. If you call in, you will hear the show through your phone. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380. That's 646-478-3380. Or if needed, call the toll-free number at 1-888-238-8575. That's 1-888-238-8575. So please call now to be connected. Thank you in advance for listening to the show and to anyone that may call in, which I want you to do, please. Again, please call in now.
Well, it looks like we already have our first caller. Who's calling in tonight? Somebody there that's called in? I see that someone's connected.
Yes, it's Julie.
Hey, Julie, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you, John?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. Thank you very much.
I was muted, so I didn't want all the background noise. I didn't know how many people had called in yet.
Oh, no, it usually goes very slowly at first, you know. I get one caller like yourself right now, and then we get a few more. You know, it always seems to average out very well, and we always have great conversations and everything. So, and this is our first night going to 90 minutes. But I just wanted to say before we get started is that I selected 90 minutes, but of course, you know, as we go along, you know, it may go up to 90 minutes, but it may go to 90 minutes, and then in the future, who knows, it may go to 2 hours.
Right.
But you know, we'll just see how it goes and everything. But how are you doing tonight? How's everything going for you this weekend?
Everything's great. I had my regular weekly comedy show on Thursday night, and that went well. The weather's sort of keep people in, and then I guess since it was New Year's Eve this week, not very many people really came out. It was Thursday night, so 2 nights before people went out for New Year's Eve. So.
Oh, right. Well, how
so
was
it was sort of
New
a slow crowd.
How was your New Year's Eve? Did it go pretty well?
Oh, we stayed home. Just me and the two kids and my husband, we stayed home and sort of watched TV and watched the ball drop on TV and just sort of hung out around here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you sound like me. I just stayed home myself. Julie, I just see that we have another caller. Who's calling in? Hello? Is there someone else that just called in that hasn't introduced themselves? Oh, well, it looks like we lost that caller. I'm not sure. They must have got shy.
Maybe they got shy. Maybe they're still listening.
That's good. Yeah, it's okay. You can just listen. You don't have to call in if you don't want to. Of course, I prefer as many people to call in as possible. That would be great, you know. I just stayed home myself. I didn't do much. But you know what's really nice is that the holiday is still going on, you know, through midnight tonight, you know, because today is the 12th day of Christmas. You know, I don't know if a lot of people know that, but, you know, a lot of people keep their Christmas tree up, you know, through today, and then they take it down on the 6th.
Wow.
Yeah, because the 12 days of Christmas starts on Christmas Day and ends on the 6th. So if you haven't gotten your Christmas miracle yet, anybody, you still have a chance. You know, you still have until midnight for something miraculous to happen, you know, in your life.
Well, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Me too.
I have until midnight.
Yeah.
Is that Pacific time?
You know what? Let's make it to the last time possible for the United States. Let's make it that way. So maybe even Hawaii time. We still have.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, we still have several hours. But I didn't know if you had a chance to see the new movie out with Anne Hathaway yet. You know, I don't know if I can pronounce the name of the movie correctly because I'm really bad with foreign names. But I'm going to try. I think it's called Las Miss Arabla. I think that's the name of it.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, but you know, I'm so impressed. I haven't seen the movie, but I did not know that she could sing. And she sung the song I Dreamed a Dream in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I downloaded it from the internet because I was just really impressed with it because I've been a fan of hers since she started when she was in the Princess Diary movies. I loved her in The Devil Wears Prada. I think she was great in that. So she has some range, but I guess she really showed her range in this movie. And so I downloaded the song, and I thought, if you don't mind, Julie, I think I'd like to just go ahead and play it right now.
Wonderful.
While we wait for another call or two, and then this way we can enjoy it, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
There was a time when men were kind, when their voices were soft, and their words inviting. There was a time when love and the world was a song, and the song was exciting. There was a time then it all went wrong. Thank you.
Wasn't that just amazing? She sung that, and I had no idea she was even a singer. And to me, she just did an awesome job. Hey, it looks like we have another caller. Who's calling in? That hasn't introduced themselves yet.
Is that me?
Yes, who's that?
Oh, my name's Blair. I got given this number by a friend of mine, and here I am.
Well, welcome, Blair. How are you tonight?
I am feeling extremely lazy today. How are you?
I was very lazy today. I had a lot I needed to do, and I didn't do it. So I think we're on the same page there, you know.
I'm still in my pajamas.
Oh, okay. Well, I did do a little bit more than just my pajamas. I did paint a little bit in my bathroom. So I guess I did accomplish something. I guess I did do that. So, but yeah. Well, how was your holiday, New Year's, Blair?
Well, the Christmas was good. I was here at home with my dog. I didn't have to see any of my family, which was good. And New Year's was awesome. I went to a friend's house and just hung out for a bit.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. Yeah, I mean, same thing happened to me as far as not going home. I didn't go home to see the family this year, but they're planning on keeping the tree up for me. I'm supposed to go there later this month, or even in February. And I told them, please don't keep the tree up. I know that you don't want to keep the tree up, but they're wanting to do that and have a Thanksgiving dinner for me and all kinds of stuff. So I thought that was very, very thoughtful of them to do that. So
nice. And where are you from?
I'm originally from Ohio, but I live in San Francisco for the last 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been here for a while. And I only wanted to live here for 5 years when I first moved here, but then I fell in love. Like they say, you know, you lose your heart, you know, here in San Francisco, and it's true. So I ended up being here now 20 years. So
nice.
And
who am I speaking to exactly?
Yeah, my name is John. And let me see if Julie, are you still on the line with us? Well, looks like we have another caller. Let me just check. Who else is calling in?
Hey, this is David.
Hey,
John. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Who is this again, please?
David. I have a new show on Blog Talk Radio. Started in September last year.
Oh, great.
A mutual friend of ours, Linda Zahn, told me about your show. I listened to a couple of shows. I think it's an excellent show. Good idea. Nice concept. Yes, so the name of my show is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. With Dave and Lori.
Yeah, so. You know, I do remember Linda did send me a link to your blog radio show. So I'll definitely check that out. And I do remember her mentioning you now to me. Yes, that's great. Well, welcome.
Oh, yes, man. Thank you. And I, too, had no idea that, what's her name? That Anne Hathaway sang, you know, that was so beautiful. She's so multi-talented.
I had no idea that she had that depth of an actress. I mean, I know she's a great actress, but, you know, and I had no idea. It always surprises me when an actress or an actor sings their own songs, you know, in a movie, and you have never heard them ever sing before. I mean, I think... Reese Witherspoon did that one. I'm a big fan of Reese Witherspoon. So when she came out with that movie, what was it called? Walk the Line, about Johnny Cash, I believe.
Yeah,
she sung every one of those songs, and I thought that was really impressive. And she said, she told the director, I don't sing. But he went ahead and convinced her to go ahead and try it. And the next thing you know, she did it.
Yep, so, and she even won an Oscar for it. She won an Oscar.
She sure did, and I think Anne's going to maybe be nominated too. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it looks like we have a couple more callers, and I just wanted to make sure we know who's all on the line. If you haven't introduced yourself, could you please do so now? We'd love to hear who you are.
Hi, I'm Laura from Michigan.
Well, hi, Laura. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really happy that we have several callers tonight.
Oh, good.
This is great. Is there anyone else that hasn't introduced themselves just yet? okay. It looks like then we have everybody introduced. That's great. Well, let me just tell you, some of you are new to my show here, and I just wanted to kind of let you know it is an open forum. So, you know, I mean, traditionally. So if there's a topic or something going on that you want to talk about or introduce as a subject, please feel free to do so. I always have some topics on hand that I have that I'm interested in that I might introduce. I like to play retro commercials sometimes, try to make them funny, and also try to find a topic from those. So that's something I'll try to do too. But I did want to introduce something new tonight, and I'm going to introduce that at the end of the show. And what that is that I've been writing a book, and it's a self-help book about just trying to find balance in your life. And I thought tonight what I would do is just maybe introduce one of the steps that I have come up with and see what everyone thinks about it and just kind of test it out. No, I've never mentioned it or talked to it to anybody about this, so I thought it might be something interesting to do. But what I wanted to do right now is go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to be right back, and this is kind of a funny little commercial that I found online, and then we'll be right back, everyone.
Northern Tool and Equipment.
My girlfriend has given me a pet name.
I'm afraid to ask.
Snuggle Muffin.
No, it isn't.
And she uses it in public.
Okay, so give your girlfriend a pet name she'll hate, like Thunder Chunky.
I couldn't do that.
I see. Too harsh for Snuggle Muffin. Okay. Drown her out with a 200-mile-per-hour cordless leaf blower.
Got it. Here she comes.
Hey, Snuggle Muffin. What are you doing, Snuggle? Snuggle! I am so out of here.
Wait! Come back, Thunder Chunky!
There's no problem a little horsepower can't solve. Northern Tool and Equipment.
Well, we're back now, guys. I don't know about you, but I've had some nicknames given to me from my significant others before, and I don't know if I'd be wanting to be called them in public either. I think one of them one time was really, oh, my God, what was it? It was, it was Peachkins Cuddlekins. Can you believe that? Peachkins Cuddlekins. I'm like, please don't call me that in public. So, anyways, there was something else I wanted to play. I ran across this when I was looking online just for some commercials, but it was really it's really kind of not disturbing, but it's kind of interesting that people actually believed this way back in the 50s, and I just kind of wanted to play it because it did remind me of when I was a kid growing up. Some of the things that, you know, we were kind of told or warned about. And I'm so grateful that we've come so far after all these years. And so in a way, it's kind of funny to listen to because it's really so outrageous. But here it is. I'll play that next.
Okay. It looks innocent enough, doesn't it? Lots of young people hitchhike. Seems like a good way to get from one place to another. But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly. One never knows when the homosexual is about. Let's take the case of Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy played baseball all afternoon, and he didn't feel like walking home, so he decided to thumb a ride. He'd done it 100 times before, and he didn't think anything was unusual when the driver struck up a friendly conversation. In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly, if they try to win your confidence too quickly, and if they become overly personal. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal.
I tell you, that was just unbelievable. Can you believe that actually existed? I mean, that was a real, that came from a video that they showed, I think, I don't know if they showed it in school or if they showed it at the Boy Scouts or what, but
wow.
I'm so glad that I never grew up in some kind of a system like that.
Was the guy driving a priest by chance?
Driving a what?
Was the guy driving a priest by chance, an over-friendly priest?
No, it was just the guy. No. but yeah,
shut
the door. Yeah, it was just terrible, you know. But I remember growing up and, you know, living on my street. And I remember, the only thing I remember that was kind of prejudice was that there was one guy they knew that was gay, and you weren't supposed to go by his house for some reason, just because he's gay, you know. But I always walked by his house. I didn't care. And then there was a couple of women and two men that lived together, and they had a bunch of children. And everyone just assumed they were two couples, you know, with kids. But the truth was the two men were together and the two women were together. And back then, you know, the only way you could do things, I guess they thought, was that they had to live together and have kids together. So that's what they did. And I think that's so sad that that was the case. But I have to say, you know, they were very happy. And I was friends with their children, and because I was a kid, too, at the time. But I just wanted to play that because I didn't know, you know, if any of you had any experiences like that when you were young.
Actually, I grew up in the intolerant 80s in Texas. And, you know, my mom being a lesbian basically had to hide the whole way she lived for most of my life. So it's getting better now. But even from the 50s to the 80s, I mean, it's been a slow progress.
Right. Right. Well, has anyone else had any experiences like that when they were a kid? You know, any, like, people warning you?
No, I can't think of any myself.
Well, that's great.
While you were talking there, I haven't really, no. I must have lived a pretty sheltered life.
Well, no,
I think that's great.
That's great. I mean, I don't think it, you know, things like this, you know, this prejudice and stuff and the fear, because really it's just fear, you know, people just don't, they don't understand when someone is different and they just fear it and they think something's wrong with them because they don't believe that way. And so I think that's great that you grew up in a city or that didn't, you know, people weren't like that. So that's
not
excellent.
Really. No, not at
all.
Where
I'm from, John,
yes.
Originally, I'm from Jamaica, and they're so homophobic in Jamaica, it's not funny. I mean, it goes to the point where, you know, that's a hateful against gays, that they want to kill gay people, and they have killed gay people. And
yeah.
I was taught in the school that, oh, you know, everything gay is bad, that. It was only when I was exposed, like going to college in New Jersey and Ohio, get my degree, hang out with every type of people, that I became accepting of it and said, hey, you know, gay people not bad, you know? What is all this hate? And just because you fear something, there's no excuse. It's a bit ignorant and hateful. So, you know, like over time, I grew to accept gay people. Because gay people are the most friendless people. They can dress, and, you know, they tell it like it is. They're straight up with you. You know, they don't beat around the bush and, like, want to cuddle you and say, oh, hey, if you're wrong, you're wrong. You know, so I appreciate that. And, you know, gay people to me are special, and, you know, people must just stop the hate. Whether it's because gay or because a person may be a conservative Republican or liberal Democrat or whatever. Hate, fear and hate is no excuse. You know, we should stop it.
Right. Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, and I'm lucky. I live in San Francisco, so I don't need to say more about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's wonderful here with the diversity and the acceptance of everybody, and that's why I just love it. And that's why when I first moved here, like I said, it was only going to be for 5 years, and now I'm here 20 years, because
wow.
It really is one of the best cities you can live in. I mean, it's just amazing. And So much opportunity, too, for if you're in, like, artistic endeavors, you know, in the arts and stuff like that, it's a great place, too. So right outside of New York. But yeah, I mean, I was just wondering, though, is there anything going on with anyone this evening that, you know, because I do like to have a section where I do have, like, an open forum, you know, if there's any topic anybody wants to talk about. Now, Julie, I know you perform. So how is it as a performer? I mean, how do you get up there and do that, you know, every time? Are you nervous, like, when you perform your comedy? Or?
Well, I was going to mention earlier, I was actually, before I started being a stand-up comedian, I was actually in the field of mental health, and I did a lot of psychological evaluations. And since we were talking about gays and lesbians, the actual DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, the very first one that was written, actually had homosexuality as a disorder. And they have actually removed that since then, which is good, because it's definitely not a disorder. But the way that society views homosexuals today is so much more different than back in the 70s and 80s. I believe it's a lot more accepting. But as far as me performing and getting up and being nervous, I do still get nervous occasionally, but it usually depends on the audience and who I actually know for certain is going to perform right after me. I have comedians who usually come and help me do the show. I'll have a headliner and a featured act or a special guest. And depending on that person and the way that they perform will largely dictate how nervous I am. I have a comedian coming up this next week who is actually from New York City, and he's performed all over, and he's really funny. And so I'm really excited because he told me, you know, don't worry about paying me, don't worry about whether you make money or whatever, and that's another issue that I worry about. If I don't have a big enough crowd, I don't make anything, and the headliners don't make anything, and so we're all just sort of sitting around looking at each other.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I'm always amazed by anybody that can just get up in front of a crowd and perform or do public speaking or anything, because when I was growing up, I was always extremely shy. I was even nominated as the shyest male in my class. So I was really shy, but I've come a little bit. I've come a long way, I guess. But believe it or not,
people thought I was a snob when I was in high school because I never really talked to anybody, but it was because I was shy. And after high school, after I went to college and I actually planned my 10-year class reunion, I had people telling me, you know, we thought that you just didn't like us. We didn't know you were shy, you know, so it's a lot different, I guess, now. I'm not scared really to talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's me. I've come a long way. It's hard to believe I was nominated, like I said, as the shyest male in my class. But you know, I did write a comedy script, and I did play it here, the audio of it, on my show. I think it was the third show I played it. But too bad you didn't get a chance to hear it, because I'd love to know what you think. But one of my goals is to do an open mic and get up there and just give it a shot, you know, and see how
I think everybody should try open mic at least once.
Absolutely. Like, a few times. I mean, your first time is going to be, you're going to be so nervous and wound up, it's not going to be good, like, at all. And coming from, you know, I do comedy in the same area that Julie does. And when I used to run my own show and get paid for the show, it was actually a lot harder to do comedy than doing an open mic. Because open mic, I don't get paid anything. I'm not in charge of anything, any set list. And I can just get up there, be myself, and then go home. And when you're actually running a show, you have so many aspects and so many people you have to keep track of. And it's a lot easier just to do an open mic. Me personally.
Great. Yeah, I'd like to give it a try. And we have plenty of opportunities here in San Francisco. There's a lot of comedy clubs and a lot of very unique places you can go that you wouldn't expect to have an open mic. For example, we have one place that is a cafe/laundromat. Okay, but they do have
So I guess it's clean laundry. I mean, clean comedy, right?
I was going to say.
Right. And you can go there and you can perform. And I've gone there to listen to people just to get an idea of what they do. And you know, I'm not knocking anybody. Anybody that can get up there and do it, I think is great. You know, I think, you know, kudos to them. But I did feel, though, after seeing some of the people performing, I was like, you know, I think I could do this. I think I could do this, you know. So, but yeah.
It's so much different until you get up there, John. The first time you get up there, you know, I actually wrote comedy before I got on stage. And so I found someone on Craigslist who wanted me to write for them, and I wrote for them. And then their very first show, I was going to do open mic. I just sort of decided on the fly that I was going to do it. And I was sitting out there, and I literally waited 3 hours before I was able to get on stage. By that time, I'd had several margaritas, and my set had disappeared somewhere in my brain. And so I had my husband and my two kids were in the same town. They had driven me there, so they were waiting for me to get done with the show. The show started an hour later than it was supposed to. And so I got up on stage, and lucky for me, the guy actually had a video recorder to record his set, and he recorded my very first open mic, so I actually have it to look back on.
That's nice.
Oh, that's great. That is great. And that's a good thing to look back at, too, because I guess whenever you tape yourself, do you tape yourself often?
I do. I record myself every week.
Oh, great. Good. Yeah, I mean, that's the best way, I guess. That way you have an opportunity to see how you did and what you want to change and so on. Yeah, that would be great. Well, I think we're going to have a commercial break. It's a one-minute break, and then we'll be right back, everybody.
All righty.
My name is Scott McGrath. The day before my 8th birthday, I fell in a pile of fire ants and suffered significant wounds on over 70% of my body. Since that day, I have made a solemn vow to kill every insect on planet Earth. I hate them with the passion of a religious zealot. Speaking of religion, of all the biblical plagues, I hate the locust plague the most. For the last 12 years, my white-hot rage has materialized in the form of my business, McGrath Pest Control. I have harnessed this unforgivable intolerance of insects and released the wrath of my fury on bugs in and around the homes of Houston. I will kill those bugs in any way that I can. Chemicals, my boot, my bare fist, or any other object that can end the life of an insect. Call 281-469-8240 and give me the honor of killing bugs at your house. I also hate rats and spiders. Go to McGrathPestControl.com.
Okay, and we are back, and I did just want to mention out there, if you are listening and haven't called in yet, please do so now. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380, and if you need to call the toll-free number, it's 1-888-238-8575. So please call in now to be connected. Yeah, I just love that commercial because I have the biggest phobia about insects to begin with, you know. So, I mean, it's embarrassing, actually. But but anyways, I wanted to just find out from you guys, I mean, is there anything else going on this evening that you want to talk about? Because I do have another topic I was going to bring up, but I was just wondering, you know, if there's anything going on out there.
Well, there's always something going on, but in the political world.
Yeah. What do you think about, you know, it's so funny because, you know, they made such a big deal that they made a deal at the end of the physical cliff or whatever. And then I was thinking to myself, isn't that like, you know, giving an award to an arsonist for putting out his own fire, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it was just like,
basically,
yeah.
Yes.
It's yeah.
Yeah, I never got the, yeah. Anyway, am I on here?
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool. I never got the whole physical cliff thing because they created the physical cliff. It was just the
exactly.
law they created. And then for like 6 months, they were like, oh, these tax cuts and spending decreases are going to destroy Yes, and then the answer was always these tax increases and spending decreases are going to hurt us, but the answer has to be different tax increases and spending decreases. It didn't make any sense. It was like, that's the fiscal cliff. I was kind of hoping we go over.
Makes no sense to me, because today I got my paycheck and I got more taxes taken out.
Oh, no.
I thought you were supposed to get, I thought it was all, you know. No, I mean, they raised everybody's taxes. I don't know if it's just in Michigan, 2%. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It made no sense
it,
to me. So, I thought, okay, that's nice. I mean, it wasn't, I'm not talking a lot of, you know, maybe like $10. But still, it's just a point that, you know, they raised, you know, I think it was Social Security. They took more money out of Social Security. So, but it just makes me crazy, the whole idea. The other thing that's been bothering me is all the Republicans have voted against Sandy, you know, that disaster. That right there, you know, that is people that are hurting, people that need things. They're not asking for handouts. They're not asking, you know, they're asking for basic things like, you know, food, clean water, a place to stay, to rebuild their homes, you know, their streets, their businesses. And they're, you know, putting all this aside and saying no. 67 Republicans voted no. I mean, it's unconscionable to me. So I'm making a point of, I'm going to do something about it, like write each one, or I'm going to constantly be badgering them on their pages or doing something, because it's horrible. You know, it is a basic need in life, and you don't vote against helping people.
It shouldn't be a political thing. It shouldn't be a political thing when it comes to a national disaster. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were. No, continue.
That's all right. I'm cool.
But it just goes to show you that John Boehner is just a puppet, really, of the Koch brothers and Sheldon Adelson and all those other rich men, multi-billionaires. So because, you know, he is supposed to be the leader, and, you know, his caucus walked over them. Instead of sitting down and compromising, they walked out. And that's not putting America first. That's not being patriotic.
Nope.
You know, when you say, you're going to say, oh, you know, we're going to make Barack Obama one-term president. We'll fight against the gays. We'll fight against women. We'll fight against this, that, whoever. It's wrong. It's not putting America first. It's putting your own special interests first. Corporations. Now, this fiscal cliff deal is not the best deal, but, you know, it's better than nothing. It's a start. And now the next thing on the agenda is a debt ceiling coming up in 2 months, comprehensive immigration reform, the economics and jobs, you know, the job market. A report came out today, or yesterday, it was good. Taxes have to be raised, because we can't run a war and lower taxes. The Bush tax cuts run out, that's good. Entitlement reform, it's not entitlement. People paying the system. You know, energy and global warming, what stop depending on foreign oil. Gun control laws, what happened in that little town in Connecticut, Newtown, Connecticut. There's no reason why somebody should have an assault rifle or AK-47 and have like 100 of them. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have a gun. Second Amendment, I'm for the Second Amendment. But when you have high-powered weapons, it's ridiculous. And last but not least, education. We need education reform. It's unacceptable that in the United States we're 27th in science and something like 6 or 7 in math. You know, we wonder, why are we not number one in the world? What we're number one in the world for is private prisons. You know, and number one as being, oh, you know, we eat a lot, so we're overweight. You know, things that we should be number one in, we're not. You know, so we cut the crap and put these things forward on the agenda.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you definitely, too, about the education. I mean, my nephew is going to school, and they wanted to sell him or tell him he didn't do well, yet he was in a classroom with no desks. All he had was a chair. He had no books.
and they the teacher on her own would have to pay to get copies made of her pages of her book to give to the kids so that they could do their homework.
Where is that in the inner city? May I ask? Is that the inner city?
This was in Dayton, Ohio.
You're kidding me.
Dayton, Ohio.
Because that sounds like something they would do in Detroit, but Detroit's bankrupt and very corrupt. But that's
no, they were corrupt too. They were corrupt in Dayton, Ohio. What happened was the superintendent, the person I guess who runs all the schools, he was embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars after presenting a special like program that was called No Child Left Behind, or I don't know what it was, but it was something where every kid would get an education, but at the same time he was taking all the money in his pockets, and so they found out that he did it, and they terminated his job, but they paid him a severance pay and gave him another $100,000.
I would say they probably gave him.
Yeah, that's how they do it in Dayton, Ohio, you know. And, what's really sad was that school was the school I went to when I was in grade school. And it was such a great school. The teachers were, you know, older and dedicated and just really good. And I always had straight A's and good education. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just changes over the years. And I don't know why.
How can you not have books, basics?
Not even a desk.
And
yeah.
The parents don't go there and just to the Board of Education. They don't go, you know, I don't understand how that can happen.
His grandmother, my mother was raising him, and she did raise a lot of, you know, stink about it. And what was really, like, disturbing, too, was the teacher, when she would write a note home for my mother to receive, my mother to receive, it would be so written, so illiterate, you know, poor grammar.
Is this a school of choice? Or is it a regular public school?
It's a regular public school. So here's what we did. She told me about it. We talked about it. We pulled him out and put him in a private school.
Oh, good.
So we did pay. We had to pay for it, but we put him in a private school. And now today he's doing extremely well. He's 25 years old.
Awesome.
And, and he's doing awesome, you know. But, I mean,
good.
But education should be one of the number one things, you know, for kids.
And another point, John, is that NRA came up with this fascinating program about teaching the teachers how to fire a gun just in case somebody attacked the students. That will work. Why do they want to put a police officer at every classroom door armed with a gun? That costs millions, but yet still they're cutting teachers' pay to put policemen there. That don't make any sense.
I don't actually look at this as a gun control issue. As an avid gun owner, and the last place I lived in with my roommate and his father, I mean, we had close to 130 guns in the home, and there was never trouble that happened from our home, nobody ever got hurt. I think the issue, like what's going on in Connecticut, is an unchecked mental illness issue.
You're right.
You
hit the nail right on the head.
A mentally ill person that got their
hand right. Yes.
You hit the nail on the head. I've dealt with mental illness
for about the last year with my girlfriend that is now up at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, you know, to get better help for her.
Good.
And I knew that with what I had in the house, I mean, everything was locked up. I lived with a mentally ill person. I had guns, the kitchen knives, all of her pills, and I doled out her medication to her because of her anger and suicide issues. That was what I did for my responsibility as a responsible gun owner. I didn't leave those in the hands
good
of somebody that had a mental illness.
Right.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, the stringent checks that they do when you buy a gun, you know, go through many different levels and goes through the NCIC, but there are ways around that at gun shows that need to be checked out, you know, person-to-person sales and things such as that. But
and
when
illegal
everybody
guns
jumps
on
the bandwagon that it's guns, it's like, no, that guy could have
no,
stole a cement
not
truck and ran it over those kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I agree with you guys totally about that. I that was the first thing I said when these things happen is that most of the time they already know that the person has a mental illness. Like the guy that did the killings in what was it called, Virginia Tech. It was in his records that he was not just a danger to himself, but a danger to others.
Yeah.
But yet he still was able to go, and he legally bought guns. All his guns were legally bought, and I believe the guy who sold him the guns justified it because he said there was nothing telling him not to sell the guns to him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely.
So, I think too. I mean, even with a mental illness, I mean, I don't know if you can even stop them from. Maybe you can make it hard, you know, from getting a gun. But I can tell you, right here in San Francisco, there's a section of the city called the Mission District. And there's a couple of corners, that's what I've heard, that you can go and get anything you want, anything you want. If you've got the money, you can buy a gun, you can buy drugs.
You can buy anything you want if you have money.
Yeah, you can buy fake IDs, you know, you can buy anything. So I don't know what the answer is, you know, it's just really sad. But I think we need to at least make it harder, like a database.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
if you go to a doctor, and you have been diagnosed with a mental illness that is a danger possibly to yourself and others,
mm-hmm.
then you go in a database. So when the gun guy goes to sell you a gun, it doesn't tell him your illness. You know, we don't want to invade your privacy, but you are on the list. So that means you don't get a gun, at least legally.
And they do have that through the NCIC check. Basically, if you've been hospitalized for suicidal thoughts or homicidal thoughts or feelings, you are on that list in the NCIC database. But if you've just gone through a therapist, there's
mm-hmm.
confidentiality where they can't just you know, throw you on that list. There is doctor-patient confidentiality. Where the real problem is, you know, people who are legal to buy guns that have mental illness or people with mental illness in their family, and they're not locking them up, and person-to-person sales at gun shows. Because a person-to-person sale means I can go with any rifle I have or any shotgun that I have, and a guy can come up and be like, "Hey, I'll give you $500 for that," and you just sell it to him right there, and that's
mm-hmm.
that's covered as not illegal. But I mean, I can't do that check from my cell phone, you know.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a tough issue. I mean, it's really tough to find a solution. Yeah.
I mean, I think. In
there's a way
opinion,
to do everything if they wanted to.
We
can
tackle mental illness and education. You know, if you educate everybody properly, that's going to be a lot better for everybody involved for the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, letting
yep.
kids slip through the cracks and have no education. The only tool of an uneducated mind is usually violence and anger.
Yep.
Generally.
Absolutely.
You know, I personally, and I'm not going to say who it is, but I personally know somebody who is young. He's like 23, and he has a mental disability,
mm-hmm.
but he has at least 6 guns. He has been approved to legally carry a gun with him at all times,
mm-hmm.
and he's not even in the... You know, like the, what do you call it, the Secret Service or security or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a regular person, and I know this guy. And he brags about his guns, and on Facebook he always posts all these guns. And I'm like, oh my God, I had to block his posts. You know, not him, but his posts, because all they were about guns. You know, and I just hope that someday he's not gonna somehow accidentally do something, and then he's going to end up in jail or something, you know?
You know, it's a coin toss at that point. I mean, it's too many years of nobody having real role models in their lives except for John McClane or Arnold Schwarzenegger for years in movies. And, I mean, I was raised around guns, and I was raised to know that they're not toys. They don't make you cool. You're not James Bond. You know, they're for, you know, bird hunting or, you know, deer hunting or home protection of your life. And ultimately, you come into my house and you're like, I'm stealing your TV. Take my TV. I'll buy another one. You come
mm-hmm.
into my house and you want to hurt my family, then we're going to have another issue and I'm calling the cops first.
Very
and,
cool.
and mm-hmm. you know, nobody that I know wants to shoot and kill anybody.
No.
Because it's a lot to have to deal with and live with for the rest of your life. Nobody wakes up like, wow, it's Wednesday. I hope I get to kill some people.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know about that. If somebody tried to threaten my children, I would want to kill them.
Well, no,
I have a gun in my house that is not registered to me. I have a gun that was given to me, and if I were to shoot someone and kill them, it would not come back to me.
Well, you know what's funny. If you're going to get past me and hurt the people that I care about, it comes down to the fact that it's my life or yours, and I like me better than anybody else, really.
Right.
I was just going to say, 20 years ago, when I decided in 1992 to move to San Francisco, the first thing my brother-in-law told me was, I can get you a gun. You're going to need a gun if you live there. I'm like, no, I don't need a gun. You know, they thought San Francisco, because of, I guess, TV shows, you know, it was just supposed to be all crime and stuff. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, I said, I don't want a gun, and I still don't want a gun. I never, ever want to own a gun. And it's not because I'm against anybody having guns. I think you should have one if you want one. I just don't want one because here's what I'm scared of for me. I'm just scared someone's going to take it away from me and then shoot me with it.
Out and about, and you have a concealed handgun license, and somebody starts something with you, and you have that gun, you almost have no other option. I mean, you're stuck putting yourself in that position. And the only person who really needs to carry a gun is the person carrying a gun. You know, if I'm out hanging out at a bar and I get into it with somebody, I'm going to be like, hey, you know what? I'm not down for this. I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. Let's have a beer. Or if you're mad enough and you want to hit me in the face and you go home. Like, I don't want any trouble. But once you start carrying a gun, there is that possibility that somebody's going to start trying to fight you, find that gun, and there's going to be a bigger issue. It really is an escalation for carrying it outside of your home.
Right, right.
You know, unless you live in Detroit, you know.
Well, I have to say, I was almost mugged four times
poor Detroit.
In San Francisco, but, you know. Yeah.
You know, like last year, last summer, there is a little city. It's called Royal Oak, and it is a small suburb, but every year they have something called Eats, Beats, and Eats, and it's huge. Everyone from all around the county, you know, can go there, and they passed a law that, and it's a fair, and it's a family thing, and they passed a law in Royal Oak that they can people can carry concealed weapons in Royal Oak, and they can go to this fair with it. Well, I decided I wasn't going to go to this fair only for that reason. Because I don't like the thought for me of bringing anyone with me or even going there myself, not knowing who's carrying a gun and who's not carrying a gun made me very uncomfortable. So I decided not to go. And because to me, why do you need to carry a gun at a fair? Or at something like that where there's music and people around and, you know, food and family and all that stuff. Why do you need to bring a gun? So I just thought, I'm staying away. I'm not going. You know, I don't know if other people felt like that, but that's exactly how I felt about it. And it's a big thing there, but for me, no.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I was just a little kid, like 10 years old, and my dad he loved guns. I mean, he collected rifles, and but he kept them locked up, too. You know, he made sure that no one could get to them and everything, the bullets. But he would make me, you know, shoot that rifle. You know, like we would go out, and there would be a little creek, and like a leaf would be going down the creek, and he would say, hey, now, try to shoot it, you know. And I did not want to shoot that gun, you know, but he made me shoot it. And so, I think I've always been like that. I've just been scared of them. You know, a lot of people, they're not, but for me, I was. So, you know, but my dad was a deer hunter, you know, and he wanted me to go deer hunting with him once when I finally got like 16, and he wanted me to go deer hunting to shoot a deer. And I said, no, Dad, I don't want to go. You know, I stayed home, you know, so. Mm-hmm. But I think I just wanted to say really quickly, if anybody is listening and you haven't called in yet, please feel free to. We still have a little bit of time here. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380.
or you can call the toll-free number at 1-888-238-8575. And that way you get connected with us. But I just want to say I really have enjoyed talking to you guys so far tonight. I appreciate you calling in, and I love the topics that we're talking about. And I think it's so important, and there's just so much going on right now with these guns and stuff. It's just we want to do the right thing, you know. We don't want to step on anybody's rights, and at the same time, we want to protect people. So I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I heard somebody say, and I believe it was the other female caller, that she didn't believe that the fair was a place to have a gun. But
mm-mm.
I also believe that elementary schools should not be the place to have a gun. And
oh, absolutely
we all
not.
Know if the teachers, the principals, the people that were at Sandy Hook, I believe was the name of the
mm-hmm.
elementary school, if
mm-hmm.
those people would have had guns, we would not be in the situation we are now with the
mm-hmm.
children that lost their lives.
I don't know about that. I kind
well,
of have to disagree.
Where I'm from, a lot of the schools that, you know, where I'm from, have two or three, you know, police officers that are assigned to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think any yahoo or somebody who's barely trained with a gun should be carrying a gun in case somebody comes there with a gun. I think it should be somebody that's trained because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, having somebody untrained with a gun is like putting a 4-year-old behind the wheel of a car after playing
right.
Grand Theft Auto. It's just a road to ruin, you know, and it's going to cause a lot more problems than it's really worth.
I think people
you know?
Should be trained that work with the public. I think teachers
mm-hmm.
should be trained. I think there should be at least
mm-hmm.
several designated individuals in every public place that have guns. We had metal detectors at my high school.
Yeah.
You know, before you could even come through the door in your uniform, you know, you went through the metal detector.
Well, I'm for metal detectors in schools, but I'm not for teachers or principals having guns. That I am not for. That's something that's, you know, what if a teacher gets scared of or gets threatened or, you know, I mean, she's got children there, and I know, for me, that's a no. But I do believe in metal detectors, or I do believe in somebody trained at, like, one of the banks near where I work. They have an armed guard outside of the door at Bank of America, for God's sakes. He stands out there in the freezing cold day after day guarding the door at Bank of America.
Yeah,
you know?
I have a Bank of America account,
you know?
So I see the armed guard every day when I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah, me
you know?
Too. You're in San Francisco.
You know, it's... I don't understand really why, because it's, you know, suburbia of suburbia, but, you know, so I'm not against, you know, having something for the kids for schools or metal detectors, something, but I'm not for teachers and having guns, no. My daughter's a teacher. I know she would never in a million years. I just know her personally, you know, no way, not her. But, like I said, maybe there is someone out there, or, you know, that disagrees, and that's fine. You know, that's my opinion.
Right.
And we all have opinions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My thing about it is that it should reduce the capacity of these guns. Because, you know, why does a person with an AK-47 or a Bushmaster, you know, that send off how many rounds in a matter of 2 minutes? Like 60 rounds in 2 minutes or some craziness like that. We use it to practice there and have a gun. And why do you need a gun like that in the first place? But listen, I'm for guns. You get what I'm saying? But when you have a high-powered weapon like that, you say, oh, yes, I'm a hunter. You know, you use that kind of deer, the deer is shred to pieces. You know?
No,
so
absolutely.
It's just an unhealthy fascination with guns. We have to keep it in check and, like, what the guy was saying earlier, I can't remember his name now, sorry. He was saying that train a person, you know, and go shooting range often and just be responsible. You know, that's the bottom line, be responsible. That you guys don't have stand your ground laws in your state, do you?
Have what?
Stand your ground laws.
Oh, stand your ground laws. I think there is something in Florida like that.
Yes, yes, yes. Trayvon Martin,
mm-hmm.
stand your ground law. You know, and
Have you ever heard about that case?
Yeah, isn't that about the guy who was a security guard or something and he shot a teenager?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he was like what do you call it?
He was Neighborhood Watch.
Neighborhood Watch,
right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
And basically followed him because he was in the neighborhood and felt threatened and killed him.
Right,
he's out,
right.
And the shooter's out in $1 million bond. The boy is, wasn't even 18 years old, talking to his girlfriend on the cell phone, and he ran, and he chased him with a truck and killed him. So they did have an altercation, but I'm sure that he was trying to save his own life. But, you know, being out on $1 million bond, his father is a judge. The one that shoot his father is a judge. So that's coming up. The hearing's coming up in February. And also on the same day that that Trayvon Martin will turn 18 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
bad. I have a thing where, you know, if it's the stand your ground law and they run away from you and you chase them down, then that's kind of null and void. Like, they ran away from you.
I agree with you. That's what I'm trying to say. That's my whole point of the whole thing, is that he had contacted the authorities and said that there was this boy in the neighborhood, and they told him not to follow him, just, you know, to stay there. Blah, 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 don't move. And he did not, you know, do what the police told him to do. He decided to follow him. And they did have an altercation, like I said, but he ended up killing him. So why is he out on $1 million bond? You know, and he has one of those GPS things on his foot so that he can't, you know, they can monitor his moves. I'm sorry. He should be sitting in jail.
That's my opinion. I mean, the guy was trying to be a hero. That's all that was. And he had a gun and probably shouldn't have.
No.
And was trying to be a big man that day.
Yeah,
and
whatever.
Somebody lost their lives.
Yes.
You know.
Yep.
Hey, listen, guys. I'm two up and run, so I just want to plug our show. It is on Blog Talk Radio's Wednesdays and Thursdays. Next week, Wednesday and Thursday. We're taking a week off to, you know, regroup and everything. Well, you could check that radio show. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/kitchenpolitics123 with Dave and Laurie. And you could go to our Facebook community page and like it. It's facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. And we even have a political group on Facebook. You know, you could search for Kitchen Politics 123 and it comes up.
Well, definitely. I'll definitely check that out. And I appreciate you checking out, you know, my show, too, tonight.
Sure.
You know, I wanted to hear, you said that you're going to talk about a specific something, and I don't remember exactly what you said, but what was it that you were going to talk about? Something
you mean tonight?
Yeah, you said you wanted to bring something up.
Well, you know, guys,
I'm kind of interested
in
hearing
I'm
what
a little
it is.
Shy to do it, but I guess I can do it, and maybe I should do it right now, and
yeah.
We can go from there. But why don't we play a song first, okay?
Okay.
We need a song, okay?
Okay,
and
sure.
The reason I'm playing this song, because it will lead into my topic that I'm talking about, so it does have a purpose. So
okay.
Okay, so here it is. And I know you guys will know this song, so here it is.
Mm-hmm. I've been working hard so long. Seems like pain has been my only friend. My fragile heart's been done so wrong. I wondered if I'd ever heal again. Oh, just like all the seasons, never stay the same. All around me I can feel the change. Oh, I will break these chains that bind me. Happiness will find me. Leave the past behind. Today my life begins. A whole new world is waiting.
burn me, leave the past behind me. Today my life begins. A whole new world is waiting. It's my fault and taking. I know I can make it. Today my life begins. I will break these chains that bind me. Happiness will find me. Leave the past behind me. Today my life begins. A whole new world is waiting. It's my call to take it. I know I can make it. Today my life begins. Today my life begins.
Well, thank you guys for listening to that.
Great song.
Well, thank you. And you know, the reason I played that song is because what I want to do just for right now is just I wanted to introduce something to you. It's a book that I'm writing. It's almost finished. And the title of it is The Seven Paths to a Balanced Life. And the reason I played that song is because I think we all get to a point sometimes where we want our life to begin. You know, we want to change our life. And that's why I love that song, because it really ties into to what I want to do. But what I wanted to say, though, is that there are seven paths that I came up with that I feel we have to go down to get to that balanced life. And I just wanted to share them real quickly. It's just titles. It's not the detailed information. But it's path one, which is honesty. You always be honest, because I think without honesty, you can't really have anything else. You know, if you're not honest with yourself, you're not honest with others, it is your foundation for anything else that you want to do. And so honesty is number one. Number two is awareness. And that's where you just really need to become aware of what things really are like in your life. What's really going on? What have you been ignoring? You know, things like that. You know, just be aware, completely aware of what your life is right now. Path three is acceptance. Accept your life. You know, accept that this is the way it is right now and understand that this is the way it is. But then you want to also, you know, find support. That's path number four, which is support. Find support. Path number five, and I put spirituality in there because whether you're religious or not, you can also at the same time still nurture your spirit. And you can call your spirit, can be anything. You can just be you. It doesn't have to be anything supernatural or anything like that. And then path six is finally to take the action and, you know, and make a change. And that's where it's important to start really changing your life. But the last thing is path seven, which is maintenance, and that is maintaining your success. So, you know, you can work hard and get somewhere and be where you want to be, but if you haven't found a way to prevent yourself from relapsing back to the way you don't want to be, or if you do relapse, if you don't have a strategy plan where you can get recovery and go back to where you want to be, then it's not going to work out. So so what I call it is, one of the things is that to start off, people can focus on, there's what we call the controllables, and there's the one things that we call uncontrollables. And that's what I say for anybody who wants to start changing their life, is just look at things that you can control and change them. It can be simple things. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be like brushing your teeth three times a day instead of twice a day, or it can be getting out of bed earlier or going to bed earlier, or just whatever you think. I mean, those are things you can control, and they add up, and eventually you can tackle the more difficult things. But anyways, I appreciate you guys listening to that, but I just wanted to share that. That's a book I've been working on for 10 years, okay?
Wow.
Right.
Well, it's based on 10 years of my life when I went through this, and I came up with, I came up with my own strategies. I have so many strategies and techniques and things like that that I use, and one day I'm going to hopefully share it with everybody. But like I said, the number one thing to start with is just honesty, you know, building your foundation, you know, one truth at a time with honesty, and that's it. But thank you so much, Julie, for asking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if I was going to share it or not.
No, I think it's great. It's everyone likes those kind of things to read and get a little bit of makes you think. There's nothing wrong with that. So it's very good. I hope that you once listened to our show too, the Kitchen Politics 123 show, you know, on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, we do have open mic night too, so you can talk about different things, but we're mainly into politics and all the crazy things that go on around in the country. So,
yeah. What's it called again? Kitchen Blog?
It's Kitchen Politics 123,
oh, okay.
Blog Talk Radio. It's on every Wednesday and Thursday night.
Okay.
Right now it's at 11 o'clock, and we're gonna come down and change that pretty soon. We're working on that to find another time slot, but it's at 11 o'clock. So there, you're in California, so it's 8 o'clock there for you. So.
Oh, okay.
You know, that works out good. But yeah, we'd love to have you. You know, come on and listen and.
I'll participate too because I have my feelings too about things and you know the thing is that I tried not to be too political during the you know the process of the presidency and all that but you know what, you can't help it, you know. This was one of the most was the most powerful, you know, kind of election, you know. I mean, it's just like so many people so opposed against each other, you know. It's just I've never seen anything like it. And
there's a lot of hate out there. That's
the
problem.
I have to tell you, and I'm going to share something with you guys, and I feel bad about it, but my oldest sister, she is a, you know, I'm not saying it's bad for her to be a Republican, but I'm just saying she's a very hardcore Republican.
So is mine.
And she's a hardcore Christian. So
right.
Christian Republican, very conservative. And so the thing is, what happened was I kept telling her very sweetly, very nicely, I really was her brother because I'm her only brother, you know. So I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let's not talk about politics when we talk. You know, I know you hate Obama, but I like him, and that's okay. We don't have to agree. I support you. You know, you don't have to support me if you don't want to, but I support you. And so we kept doing that for a long time. Well, guess what happened? So then Obama wins, right? And she talks to me on the phone, and we already agreed never to talk about politics.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes back and she says, "You're evil president," you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my gosh.
She was ripping him apart. He's going to destroy Medicare and Medicaid and blah, blah, blah.
It's all the exact opposite.
I know. So I told
her. She
must
listen to Fox.
I know she does. I think she does. So I told her, I said, listen, I go, you know, we can't talk about politics like that. It doesn't going to work. And she goes, well, you gave up your family because of Obama. That's what she told me.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You just crossed the line. And I said, that's it. I go, unless you apologize to me, we have nothing to say to each other.
Well,
and guess what? We haven't spoken since the election.
You're kidding.
Yep.
After
the first
election, I didn't talk to my mom for almost a year.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah. It was Cadillac One was such a big car, I thought it was being guarded by midgets because it made these huge, massive guys look really small. And I'm like, have you seen this car? Are you watching the inauguration? And my mom's like, you mean the inauguration? So I hung up on it decided not to talk to her for a year. And then we started talking after that, and she got cancer and died. And it was really funny that she became that much of a racist, and the only DVD she owned was Madea Goes to Jail.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I hung up on my sister three times that day. Three times I hung up on her.
You know, what's really funny is that my sister, Republican, and she would come. I would post things on my Facebook page, and then she would come, and she would posting, you know, make little comments on there. And I told myself I am not going to answer these comments because it would just make my blood pressure go up so bad. And
exactly,
I
thought, yeah.
You know,
there's a good button
that,
for those comments. It's called the block button.
Oh, I already did. I mean, you know,
oh,
yeah. Well, we
yeah,
were over
her.
That part
yeah,
of it. She did it to herself because she ended up calling one of my Facebook friends. His name was Johnny Doe. She called him Johnny Doe Dick. And he laid into her really bad. And she's not been on Facebook since. So, and we
yeah.
get along well, but we cannot talk politics ever.
Do you know what my sister did to me? I posted this really cute picture of Betty White in the White House, at the Oval Office with the president. And she has her
yes.
hands up, for, like just so happy to meet him.
Yes.
She stole the picture, put it on her Facebook page, and then all of her horrible, horrible friends just ripped her. I mean, I can't tell you what they called Betty White. They did all kinds of things to Betty White. And I told her, I said, I PM'd her, and I told her, I said, why didn't you post that picture? You know? You know, but that's, so, you know, it's okay. I mean, I'm sure we'll make up someday, but can you believe that you fight over politics?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's why I don't talk to my sister about it, because we probably wouldn't be talking today. We're 180 degrees different, you know.
Yeah.
We're just total opposites, so.
She couldn't believe it, because you know what happened? I didn't rub it in her face either, but
mm-hmm.
I was just like, you know, Ohio, where you're from, with Obama.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So it's like, because you know what happened? She got this campaign. My mother, my other sister, my brother-in-law, my two nephews, two nieces, they all voted for Obama the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
She passively, aggressively manipulated them and got them all to vote for, you know, against him this year. So, and she was so happy about that. And I was like, and then when he won Ohio, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
yep,
but why did they want to vote against him this year? I mean, what did he do that they, you know, wanted to? I mean, Mitt Romney was a dork.
Well, the reason I think is it's where people don't want to take personal responsibility for their lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they want to blame the president. And that is the case with my family, because two of my nephews didn't even work. And they said, oh, we can't get a job because of Obama.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
I said, so here's what I asked. I know their personal lives. Okay, they sleep
mm-hmm.
until like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they stay
mm-hmm.
up all night playing games. So
mm-hmm.
I said, well, what time did you get up this morning, and where did you go to apply for work? You know, oh, God, they unfriended me. They actually unfriended me on Facebook because I thought. Because I'm like, you know what, I'm not buying it.
No,
you know?
Good for you.
I mean, your reasons don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the thing is, no, they expect Obama to do things in 4 years. I mean, it was George W. Bush that messed up everything. He signed executive orders without even knowing about up to this day, you know. So, as you said, personal responsibility, know what you're voting for, know the issues by the candidates, and you know, stop saying, oh, my grandfather's Republican, so, yes, I have to be a Republican. Those days are gone. Your grandparents' Republican Party is no more, and the Republican Party has turned toxic because of the Tea Party.
You know, I don't really care who you're running for, whether you're Republican or Democrat. I vote for who I believe in is going to be the
right.
best for us.
Right,
the
right person, exactly. The right person I mean, there's bad Democrats and there's bad Republicans. I just think right now there's a group of Republicans that are evil. And, I mean, that's all there is to
that's
it.
That's never been said before.
Yeah. Oh, it's been said. I've said it many times. I'll name names, too.
Julie, quick question. Julie, is still there?
What?
Yeah,
yes, we're still here.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Where can I find you on YouTube? Say you perform. You say you taped and everything. So can you put them on YouTube?
I'm on YouTube.
Okay. What's the link? I'd love
it's
to look
it's Julie Brooks.
Julie Brooks. Okay.
Just if you Google Julie Brooks comedian, it'll bring up my all of my videos.
No. I know what I'm going to be watching tonight.
Yeah, the one time I tried stand-up comedy, I literally threw up, you know. So.
No.
Oh, I almost did my first time. I was shaking by the time I
got
off.
The only thing I've ever done is karaoke when I'm drunk.
I did karaoke a couple of times. When my sister had her bachelorette party, I did Tainted Love by Soft Cell. I don't remember the other songs that I've done, but I did Tainted Love because it was her bachelorette party, and I thought it was appropriate.
Right. That's cute. Oh, that's funny. But no, that's as far as it goes for me.
So, Julie, did you ever figure out how to change a video into an audio? Did you do that?
One of my friends that's local who was at the show, he actually converted it on his work computer. What he did was he somehow put my picture as the video, but it was a still picture, and then he just added the audio. So it looks like I'm a ventriloquist. And I'm just sort of sitting there, and you can hear me talking, and it's just my face from what I wore that night.
Yeah, but, you know, also if you want to, well, you know, you can also just make it just an audio file, period, you know, if you want to. That's what I do all the time. All these things I posted tonight were videos on YouTube, and I converted them to MP3s, you know, so you can do that too. Yeah.
Well, just so you know, I love the commercials.
I'm rolling
on the floor laughing. Snuggle Muffin, hilarious.
Hilarious.
And I felt so bad because the commercial about the little boy being 8 years old and falling in a puddle of fire ants. I mean, that's not funny to fall in a bunch of fire ants, but I guess it was just the way that he was talking about it made it funny.
Well, yeah, he grew up to take revenge.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, we have about 5 minutes left tonight, mm-hmm. so I just, you know, I really don't have any more songs I'm going to play or any commercials or anything. Well, I mean, I'm just teasing. I do have them, but I don't want to play them, mm-hmm. you know. I think,
you know,
can
I say one more thing?
Yeah.
David has a blog. And if you really want something that's educational and out there that's very – well, it's political, of course, so you have to like politics, and it has a lot of – he puts a lot into it. He has a Cooking Politics 123 blog, and it's awesome. That's how I started – it's how David and I became friends, is because he's in Florida and I'm in Michigan, but I would read his blog, and I would say, oh, my gosh, this blog is awesome. So we became friends because of the blog. And so I would just suggest you read it. It's out there. It's David, how would they read your blog, David?
Oh, yes. You can go to Google search and type in kitchenpolitics123.weebly.com. Weebly mm-hmm. is spelled weebly.com. Or you can just go David A. Franklin.
Yeah, his blog is awesome. It's just going everywhere. It's all over Facebook all the time. It's always being shared. Every week he comes up with something, you know, the topic is always over the top. So I just wanted to say something about that, since David didn't talk about his own blog. So it's a great blog.
David, what do you think about Weebly?
Weebly?
I've got a Weebly site, and I'm not good enough to figure it out. I did one blog, and that's all I've done so far.
Yeah, it's okay, but sometimes it gives problems and everything. So, you know, I'm going to go out on my own soon, pretty much. By the middle of February, because that's when the 1 year anniversary for the blog is. So, you know, we're going to update it, have our own engine and everything, powered by GoDaddy. And I'd rate Weebly out of 10. I'd give them like a 6, 7, you know. But sometimes, you know, the system trips. You know, it's really frustrating.
Right.
You know, the Weebly Pro. I hear a lot of bad things about it, so that's why I'm going out on my own.
I've just got the free Weebly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I have a free leave for a year, you know, so. And my year is almost up in February, so. That's going to go up number one. Because I hear too much horror story about the weed before, you know, so. Yeah. I'd go to GoDaddy or some other independent site. Talk to a real life person.
Yeah, I really like GoDaddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, GoDaddy is awesome. So where are you, Julie? I didn't get that. Are you in New York?
I'm in Mississippi.
Mississippi, okay.
Well, I'm not in Mississippi now. I'm actually in Kansas, but I'm from Mississippi.
Okay, cool. Yes, man. Yeah, so I'll definitely look you up on YouTube.
And I'll find you on Weebly.
Sure. And we're going to have a thing on YouTube soon where I give commentary and all. And roam the streets and talk with people, you know, and hear what they're saying about political stuff. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really enjoyed your show. I thought it was excellent.
Yes, John, it was.
Definitely. I really enjoyed the show, John. This was my first time actually to get to call in, but I've been listening on my computer the last couple of weeks, but this is my first time actually to get to call in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, guys, I really appreciate you calling in. And but mm-hmm. we are almost out of time. We are less than a minute. So
mm-hmm.
I just want to just thank you again for listening, participating, and please join us next Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard
mm-hmm.
Time for our next
mm-hmm.
episode. But for now, I guess we just have to say have a great night and sign off. But thank you guys so much. This is probably the best show I've had. So,
good.
You know, I've had five episodes. Yeah, I've had five episodes. This is the fifth one, and this is probably the best one I think. You know, I think we've ever had. So, thank you again for calling in, and you all have a good night. Okay.
Okay.
You too, John.
Bye. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.